What this is a kind of Brit horror mixed with a Brit sex comedy, and it's made in the 1970s. So those kind of things are the kind of things that I like. I like a lot of other things as well. Cheese, for instance. And cheesecake, chocolate. I like that. I like Liverpool FC. I like boxing and wrestling. However, I like those items. I'm interested in those items. I don't always like those items, but I'm interested in them. And that's why this movie, which was conceived as a fun horror film, in inverted commas, Terror, which was made in 1978, has no terror whatsoever, but is very great fun. Now, after a bit of shenanigans with a witch that they attempt to burn and can't burn because everyone else gets burnt instead, it's burn transference. And she then grabs a large sword and does for the leading family who have been involved in having her burned, or attempting to burn her. She's not even seared. She's not even pan-fried. Nothing like that. So, years later, and around a filmmaking studio and company, including Glynis Barber, who falls quite early on. She's the first to be killed. At a party, one of the gentlemen, Gary, decides that he wants to show that he actually can, because he's having a bit of a joke with one of his friends about how he can mesmerise people. And so, Caroline Courage, his Aunt Garrick, I think it's her, says that she would like to be the one who is mesmerised. And actually, he manages to mesmerise her. Unfortunately, she goes into a trance a bit too much. You can't, you're back in the room. Back in the room. No. She goes to the mantelpiece, the mantle, and takes a large sword, a big ass sword, and tries to kill her cousin. Yes, I think it's her cousin who owns the film studio, and that would be rather good-looking John Nolan as James Garrick. James Aubrey, by the way, who, I mean, he's done an awful lot of work, actually, James Aubrey, is the kind of manager of the studio, and people start to die in strange ways. The first one who gets killed and actually skewered up to a tree is Glynis Barber as Carol Tucker. And don't you see Glynis Barber very much these days, do you? I wonder where she is. Anyway, don't see a mate-piece. She married Michael Brandon, you know, for a bit. I don't know if they're still together. I'm not sure. Let me check. Yes, they're still together. Amazing, isn't it? That's lovely, isn't it? Did it. Dempsey and Makepeace. I've always preferred Cagney and Lacey. But there you go. Now, she's the first to go. And so he's a bit spooked, is James. Because he thinks somebody is after the studio or after him. But it's really his cousin Anne, who's an aspiring actress, and lives in a kind of home for aspiring actresses. It's weird. You've got an older actress who is saying, I might be going back to Hollywood, dear, who seems to run the house. And then you've got a lot of aspiring actresses walking around in various states of undress as they're going to auditions and all of that. Everyone seems to get a lot of work, actually. Plus, what you've also got, being the Brit sex comedy kind of thing, you've got Tricia Walsh, who people might know Tricia Walsh, if you remember the Pineapple Dance Academy, which gave us Louis Spence. Yeah, but it was actually all right in other ways. Tricia Walsh-Smith, who got some fame on that, produced some singles. She's actually, she plays Viv here, who's sort of a, let's put it this way, she's seen in a scene, in a bathtub, and there's quite a lot of lewd stuff going on, but it's really like a confessions film, really. And she's rather good, actually. She's got some good comedy moments, particularly where she is hustled out of the studio because John is saying, I don't want the police around here seeing people shooting this kind of a film. So she leaves and then comes back in and immediately say, did I leave my knickers? Things like that. She's all right. It's fun. And that's the Brit sex comedy part of it. They all seem to work at a club as kind of waitresses and a bit more than that. The blokes here are really seedy, and particularly one bloke who's hanging out of a large car, telling Anne Garrick, who's walking down the road in the night, in the evening, and it's a road with loads of other people. It's a main road, saying, "Come with me, we'll have a good time." Come on. I mean, this is the late 70s, and I mean, this kind of thing still happens, doesn't it? But it can't be endorsed in any particular way, other than to say it's 1978. So, most of the people in this studio and around this studio and the people at the aspiring home for actresses get killed, including, in a very good way actually, James Aubrey, who manages to make it look like rolls of film, rolls of celluloid, are attacking him. He does it extremely well. There's quite a lot of wind and all that kind of, not from him. It's not as if he's eating a curry or anything. But I mean, other pieces of food and types of food are available. But there's lots of wind and there's lots of doors slamming. And he falls down the stairs and he ends with his head through a window that's not a broken window, but looks up and there's a pane of glass, and of course it slices his head off. Only it doesn't, because what you see is his head and some blood, some daubed on blood, and you can see quite clearly where the pane of glass has been cut to accommodate his neck. They could have actually had a bit more of a look at that, and it does have a made-for-TV movie or a B-movie feel to it. Apparently, the budget was around 50 grand, which is more money in those days than it is now. And I don't know how it did, really. I'm not sure. There was a sequel, Mooted, about 10 years later, which never really happened. It was going to be called Beyond Terror or something like that. And it was a big success. It spent a week as box office number one. It's fun, though. This movie is fun. And it does, because it has that Brit sex comedy of I'm running around in my underwear and all of that. It does have a spirit of fun. Eventually, nothing gets resolved. The witch comes back and actually kills Anne by skewering her to above the mantelpiece, pretty much where the sword was. There is quite a lot. I mean, the witch doesn't have much to do apart from ha 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 ha. All of that. And that doesn't really match the movement of her lips a lot of the time. So it probably post-synced and dropped in later. This movie has it's got a really lovely feel to it. If you like that sort of naughty comedy from the 70s and that sort of not really scary sub-hammer and sub-horror feel, it's really chummy, this movie, really chummy. There are some very likeable characters. Most of the acting is not particularly great. The best things in it are probably, I would say, James Aubrey as Philip, because John Nolan tends to stare into the middle distance quite a lot and look haunted. Of course, so he should. He is being haunted by the ghost of a witch. And Tricia Walsh is probably the best thing in this. You know, she's fun. And the whole thing has got a sense of fun. If you like that sort of thing, luckily, I do. Oh, and Peter Mayhew's in it as well. You know, Chewbacca, he's got one line, one comedy line, with a big bloke walking towards her. She screams and then he says, "Did you order a mechanic?" That's great. What are some nice moments? And I was prepared to watch the whole movie just for those moments. Ta-ta.